So let's go back to Genesis. We're talking about the power of faith. Genesis 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we talked about that word in the Hebrew. Created means God prepared the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God made it. And I want you to get that in your head. God made it in the beginning. In other words, God makes it and then he starts making it. Genesis 2, God starts making it, but he started off by making it. So everything begins. In the beginning, everything begins inside. What does it say in John, the first chapter? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with him in the beginning. God was with him in the beginning. Without him, nothing was made, and without him, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. So it's in Genesis. John 1 is kind of the reiteration of Genesis 1 saying, in the beginning, God made something out of nothing with his word. And so there is this image that you get. I was talking about cookies and what have you. And I knew that while I was talking to him, you're coming up with images in your mind. And you're thinking, well, you're just talking about chocolate chip cookies. All right, in your mind, close your eyes for a second. Chocolate chip cookies, you see it? Now put those colorful sprinkles on top. Can you see them now? Just put a whole handful of them on top there. Can you see that? And now right next to it is an ice cold glass of milk. It's a round glass. It's about this tall. Can you see it? And the milk is so cold it's making the outside of the glass sweat. Can you see that? Yes, you can. You know animals can't do that. Only human beings can do that because you're created in God's image. So you have the ability to create. And you're thinking, oh, that's just my imagination. That is the nation where all of it takes place. It's this place where you can say, you have the ability, like you say, well, I'm poor, but you know what? If you close your eyes, you can become rich. Well, my car's broke down. Close your eyes, you can have another car. Well, my marriage is a mess. Close your eyes, and you can say, you know what? I can see a marriage much better than my marriage. Well, my kids are having big problems. You know what? You close your eyes and say, let me see them preaching the gospel and on fire for God. We say, well, that's just imagination. Well, hold, you don't understand. At the beginning, God made it before he made it. And how did he make it? How do you make anything before you make it? You sit there and you say, I know what it is, but now I'm going to impose what it's going to be over what it is. This is the dimension of the human nature that is different than all of the creation. We have the ability to create. That's why you don't see, you know, animals building skyscrapers. You see human beings building skyscrapers because somebody imagined it, and then they conquered it after they imagined it. You find broke people, you know, in America that laying on a beach, and then one day they thought about a hotel room and how they could stay there. And then they thought, well, you know, what if there was two hotels? Then they begin to dream of a chain of hotels room, and Days Inn was born, and it became a multi-million corporation. It began when he was dreaming. He just dared to dream it, and when he dreamed it, something caught fire in his life. Now, so most, there are a lot of people that come to church and they don't realize the way you got saved, the way you gave your life to Christ was believing something you couldn't see. You heard about it and then you saw it, just like I was describing that cookie. Some of you are like, I'm getting a cookie after church. I must have a cookie. Some of you are like, oh, I'm getting one. Because it became a little seed inside you. And entering the realm of the Spirit is not like, entering the realm of the Spirit is getting out of the natural and into the supernatural where everything's possible. And some people don't dare do it because they're so afraid to be disappointed that they just swear off dreaming altogether. Like, I'm not even going to dream because it just makes me so sad. Everybody remembers the saints used to be like that. Nobody would say, we're going to win this year. Because you're like, I'm going to be disappointed. I'll believe it when I see it, right? Because people get that attitude when they've been disappointed. They cut off their ability to dream, and they say, dreaming is for kids. Imagination is for kids. Adults have to understand you just go out and do the best you can, and that's all there is to it. Well, that isn't all there is to it if you want to work with God, because God creates something out of nothing. It's the story of the Bible, that God creates something out of nothing. That God takes almost zero and makes something awesome. Now, if you want to get in this, then you're going to have to get in it, all in it, and get rid of that, I don't want to dream because that's just not who I am. It's who God is, and you were created in his image. So if you want to work with God, you've got to work like God because that's how he does it. Look, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created it. Then three chapters later, it's all done. It's actually almost by the end of that chapter is done. Then he goes to work. He goes to work based on his dream. He doesn't just go to work and see what happens. And every time he worked, he said, that was good. Made something else, that was good. He understood that this dream had these steps in it, and these steps were progressing toward the big dream. God said, this is how I am, and you're my children. If you want to work with me, you've got to come into the realm of faith and see what's not there and call it into existence. There you go. One or two people like, you got it, you're getting it. So here it is, Genesis 1 says, it says, in the beginning God created heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. This is what you have to go ahead and face. You're asking God for a miracle, and God's given you a potential miracle. You're asking God for a great marriage, he's given you a potentially great marriage. You're asking God for a healthy body, he's given you a potentially healthy body. Right now, it's without form and void. Come on, somebody. You were thinking that this morning when you were getting dressed. You're like, man, I am without form and void. And there's darkness on the face of the deep. You were just like, oh, man, look at me. Look at me. This is a mess. And that, look, the truth is, every time, either you're going to get discouraged and go eat some more cookies. Come on, somebody. You're either going to get discouraged and say, I'm just going to keep eating. Or you're going to say, you know what? It's not too late to turn this mess around. Because God is not giving you the perfect thing. God is giving you the potential thing. He's giving you something to work with. He's giving you some faith and some opportunity. And people complain about America all the time. Shame on them. They ought to put you in Venezuela for about 2 months and enjoy the socialism that you're demanding. Just send you down. You'll be kissing the ground in America. You get back here from Venezuela. I don't go to Honduras. Just take a trip. Oh, it's so beautiful. Try 2 weeks in Honduras. You'd be like, I want a hamburger. I want the USA. You'll be kissing the ground. You get off that plane from Honduras. You'll find out God puts you in the land of dreams. It's a shame on people that complain about America. Because in America, you have an opportunity to dream and you can become anything. You can do anything. Yeah, but people are mean to me. So what? Isn't that the deal? God put something in you bigger than what's around you. God put something greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. God's promises are bigger than your opposition. Now, anybody can cry. Anybody can make excuses. Anybody can blame it on other people because the world is a bad place. I know it. The world is a bad place. This is a great country, and God in you is bigger than anything that comes against you. You got to make up your mind. There is no such thing as a victor who's a victim. You can choose either I'm a victim or I'm a victor. You cannot be both. You cannot think like a winner and a loser at the same time. And once the enemy convinces you, poor you, you're a loser. You stop dreaming. And you start being jealous of other people. Like, look at them. They got all that money. They got all that. Stop it. Stop it. That's how people deceive you. That's how socialism was born. Saying, we're going to take it from those people that you're jealous of and just going to give it to you because you deserve it. That's not how God does it. God says, you want it? Dream it. Go get it. Earn it. Fight it. Create it. Win. We don't want to be. You're going to have to win on the inside before you can win on the outside. Look, anybody can, any fool can make an excuse. You don't take a genius to make it. Well, it's because, you see. No, don't be depressed. See, when someone is deceived to thinking that they have no options, their options are either to blame other people or to blame themselves. You don't have to do either one. You can stop blaming other people, stop blaming yourself, and start believing in something bigger than yourself. Start connecting to the one who made you, the one who created everything that you see, and begin to use what's inside of you to change what's around you. You should write that down, put it on Facebook. Begin to use what's inside of you to change what's around you. Because that's how God does it. God starts off with what's inside of him, and then he declares it, and it becomes around him. Now, why is it in the Bible? Because he wants you to think he's awesome. He knows he's awesome. He's wanting you to be like him. That's why it's in the Bible. He's wanting to say, look, this is how I do it. Now, this is the whole life of Jesus. Would say, look, this is how you do it. You don't get upset and jealous and mean. And bitter and depressed, you rise up and say, wait, God's dream is bigger than whatever this opposition is. Jesus said, we're going to change the world. I'm going to take 12 men and change the whole world. Can't be done. Yeah, it did. It happened. the same Roman government that ruled over Jesus and held him to the cross, that became the center of Christianity. All of that fell to Christianity. Because why? Jesus understood you create something by what you say and by who you are. What's in you is much bigger than what's around you and what you're facing. But if the enemy tells you you can't do it, okay, then you can't. Right? I love what Henry Ford said. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. Because it all begins in your ability to say, I'm going to stop feeling sorry for myself and stop feeling like a victim, and I'm going to remember who I'm hooked up with. Well, God just won't do anything. Yes, he will, but he's not going to feel sorry for you and do something for you. He's going to do something in your life when you come into the realm of faith. This is the covenant. You bring faith, I'll bring power. Don't bring whining, complaining, hoping that God will feel guilty or sorry for you one day and do something, because it just ain't going to happen. God is not making dependents. God is making descendants. God is making descendants. He wants it. And he can't just keep doing everything for you and you learn anything but to be a dependent. I'm just hoping God just do it. Listen, there's a part of us that's always going to be children and saying, no, help me out. And I'm not trying to criticize you. I'm trying to get you to where God wants you to put your eyes, which is you're much bigger than this. You're much better than this. God is not that God is not compassionate or loving for in your life, but he's going to have to grow you up. I remember I used to have a deep resentment in my heart toward my mom. I didn't know it was there, but it was there. And it was there because when I learned how to swim, she pulled that walk backward thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're in the water struggling for your life, and you watch your mom's feet going backwards. You think you almost made it, and she takes three steps back, and you're like, I'm starting to hate whoever that is, because they say they love me, but they're trying to kill me. I didn't really have a deep resentment, but I did have I didn't forget it. I remembered, like, I'm counting on you to catch me. You said, jump in the water, come on this way. I jumped in. Now you're walking back? No fair. Well, I had that in my mind, because, and then as I became a Christian, I started to understand God is that way sometimes. When he wants you to grow, he'll like, okay, now you're in the water. What you going to do? Just catch me. Nope, no catching you this time. I'm walking backwards. What do you expect me to do? I expect you to swim. I can't swim. Just catch me. And you'll find that sometime God, when you start actually drowning, he'll grab you again and say, okay, we're going to try that again. Now come to me. And some people feel like they're stuck in this thing where God has said, no. I am not going to make a baby out of you until you can't do this. I'm going to make sure you learn how to be great. And not, you're going to face some opposition. You're not going to like it. You're going to feel like I'm not with you at some point, but I am with you. But you're going to have to understand that things being hard is the opportunity to become great. Write it down, put it on Facebook. Tease it. Things being hard is the opportunity for you to become great. It is an opportunity, and you can't be great without it. Great opposition builds great men and great women, or it destroys many. But who you're going to become has to do with something inside of you rising up. Listen to what happened. On the face of the, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Okay, here it is. Here's the partnership. You got a huge mess. You got a huge issue. And the Spirit of God shows up and said, let's do this. Listen. It almost sounds, if you've ever hovered with the Holy Spirit, that word he brooded or he incubated, this word that's in the Hebrew, it actually is he hovered like you think of a bird or a, you know, like a helicopter over the mess. He was like, if you don't understand this, you don't understand the key to changing, because things don't change right away. Sometimes it takes a little patience. Sometimes you got to believe in this process. So the Holy Spirit says, come on with me. All right, God knew what he wanted. The Holy Spirit's on the scene. He's hovering. So you got God knows what he wants. The Holy Spirit is hovering. And suddenly, the time is right. And God says, let there be light. There was light. This is your life. It's all you need to know about changing everything is already said right there. You just need to know that. There's a word that's coming to you at the right time, coming from heaven. You're going to declare it, and it's going to change everything. You say, that's not how it works. That is how it works. What doesn't work for me? Well, that's because you're not working. That's not ugly. That's just truth. You can't be lazy. God is a builder. He's a creator. He is not catering to the lazy. You got to get in. Well, it's not going to be easy. Yes, it's not easy, but when you get it, it's going to change everything about you. The issues with you is your mind becoming negative. And you start blaming God and you start feeling sorry and all those things. You got to get rid of all that. You know, the helmet of salvation, the Bible talks about our armor. The helmet of salvation is you remaining with a positive attitude in every negative situation. Because the word salvation means saved, healed, and delivered. All God's promises to you have to circle your mind and say, I don't care what's happening right now. It doesn't matter to me what's happening. I'm only thinking about God's promises. And whatever's happening, God is working it for my good. I'm going to always be positive. I'm going to always be optimistic. I'm never going to be sad. I'm never giving into those thoughts of feeling sorry or questioning God. I'm going to have a helmet. I'm not going to get attacked in my head. How many know the enemy wants to attack you in your head? And he wants to convince you God is not faithful. You got to put your helmet on and say, hey, one thing about me, I'm always optimistic because I'm hooked up with Jesus. I'm always optimistic because I'm hooked up with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm hooked up with the one who made everything. I don't think a negative thought. I never think like a victim. I never think like a failure. I'm always moving into the promises of God. I'm always conquering the promises of God. If I conquered one, I'm getting ready to conquer another one. Oh, we have in church now. It's true. Turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews 11 chapter. Put it up there, Hebrews 11, 1, and we're going to read like four verses. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. There it is. And the evidence of things not seen. Let's stop right there for a second. Now faith, now God said, this is your covenant. You got to come into faith. You couldn't get saved until you came into faith. And that received the power. This is the new covenant. You bring faith, I bring power. So faith is pretty important. And you have it. You just need to activate it. Every man, every woman has faith. Just because you're not using it or don't know how to use it doesn't mean you don't have it. You do have it. You just have to stop using that other junk. And I'll show you in a minute what I'm talking about. Faith is the substance. This Greek word there actually means title deed. It is the assurance of things hoped for, the title deed. I said last week, would you rather have a car with no title or a title with no car? I'd rather have a title with no car because the police will go get my car if I got a title. But if I've got a car with no title, then the police come and get the car from me and give it to somebody who has a title. So it's important whether you have the car, you get the title, right? I mean, in other words, the process works by you owning it first, then it comes to you. This is what God did. In the beginning, God owned it. He created it. He owned it. Once he owned it, then things went into motion. And it became what he saw. That's how God worked. Now, this is not preacher gobbledygook trying to get you excited. This is the honest truth. But it's not for everybody because some people are too scared to try. But I really do want to make it simple and not super spiritual. I want you to get it because I want your life to be bettered. I want you to be a light in the world, not just the same as everybody else. I want you to be the one with the breakthrough in the marriage and the love and the finances and the job and the ministry. I want that to be you. To get that, you got to get this. Faith is the substance. Faith is the title deed. For example, right now, if I ask Donovan, you're right there. If I ask you, are you going to heaven? I mean, are you saved? Well, that's what saved means. It means delivered from the enemy and destruction and going to heaven. Now, he says he's saved, but you know what? He's still here. He's not in heaven yet. What is his evidence that he's saved? What's your evidence? That's right. Right. You believe it, right? It's not a test. You don't. You get it. No, you didn't get it. Well, no, the truth is all of us, if we can't prove to people that we're saved. Yeah, but look at my eyes, how twinkly they are. And some Christians try to prove they're Christians by having all the Christian words like, glory to God, brother. It's a manifestation of the restoration. And they try to like, have you heard how I speak? I must be a Christian. I'm proving it because I'm making you feel weird like I know more stuff than you. Therefore, I'm saved. That is not evidence that you're saved because you know how to say, you know, manifestation of the restoration of the, you know, glorification. That doesn't mean anything. What means something is that there's something inside of you that cannot be moved. It is unshakable. You have a title deed. And when you say, I'm going to heaven, people are like, how did you find that out? How do you know? You're like, I know. How do you know? I know. How do you know? My title deed. You're not in heaven yet. Yes, I am. I got a deed on some heavenly property. It's called saved. It's called believing what Jesus did. See, I was hearing a preacher one day, and I could picture Jesus on the cross. When I saw Jesus dying on the cross, I said, that was for me. And then I saw the grave where he was laid. I could see a picture of Jesus in a grave. Then I saw a stone rolled away. I saw the stone, the grave was empty. And I said, I'm coming out of that grave the same as Jesus came out of that grave. And I'm going to heaven regardless of what I did. I've already got my title deed. I'm going. This is how it all began, with you imagining something, you picturing something that you didn't own. That's how it begins. And that's the most important things in your life, are the invisible things, and they control everything else about your life. Let's just get real, brother. I am getting real. What's real is what is inside of you and what you believe. I said it last week. We have three things that are called us. One is our emotions. The second is our thoughts. The third is our faith, what we believe. And many people live from their feelings. Then they decide what they think about their feelings. And then they decide to ask God to help them with their situation. So they live upside down. And they end up in a turmoil because they don't choose. Wait a second. I'm going to live by faith first. What I believe, what God promised, that's first. Then I'm going to order my thinking by what I believe, not by what's happening. But what I believe, and then I'm going to line up my feelings with what I think. And so even Christians have to remember, you better straighten it out or you're going to have a miserable life. Because you're going to be in a wrestling match until you say the just lives by faith. My life is about what I believe, then I think like what I believe, and then I feel like what I think. This is my life. This is what goes on inside of here. So the faith is the substance of what I hope for and the evidence of things not seen. Evidence means that which provides proof. The proof that I have is my faith. So everything important in your life begins right here in the promises of God and in the working of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Let's keep reading. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. Keep reading. By faith we understand. Now get this with me. Read it out loud with me. Say, by faith we understand. Stop right there. I don't understand what I'm going through. I don't understand why. I don't understand this. Say it with me. Say, by what? By faith we. So never say, I don't really understand again. Because the more you walk into faith, the more you understand. Let's keep going. By faith we understand that the worlds, read it with me, the worlds were framed by the word of God. Read that sentence one more time with me. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Do you understand that? Do you understand that everything you see that you're standing on, that you're sitting on, that you're looking at, everything you see was created by a word? So he's telling us we understand that the invisible world is not controlled by the natural world, but the natural world is controlled by the invisible world. Not the other way around. So get it out of your mind that we're going to do something in the natural that's going to affect the spiritual. No, we're going to do something in the spiritual that affects the natural. So we are not limited when we start. We start off saying that I am going into the supernatural, into the spirit realm, and I'm going to affect the natural. By faith we understand it's an upside down world. Natural things didn't create spiritual things. Spiritual things created natural things. This is a fundamental programming of your mind. Stop thinking like the world that somehow everything's natural. It is the supernatural that's controlling the natural. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Let's read the next verse. All right, no, let's not read the next verse. Let's stay right there. Okay, I want you to see something here. Now you understand by faith that what was in the spirit realm moved upon the natural realm, and everything you see was created. Do you understand that? So you have to understand that when you go into the spiritual realm, you're going to create some things. Your life, all that God promised, is in the spiritual realm. In the realm of faith, there's a huge warehouse of everything that God has for your life, but you don't get it because God feels sorry for you, or because you begged, or because you came to church, or because you gave money. You get what's in the spiritual realm because you go into the spiritual realm and you follow the pattern and you bring it into your life. That's how Jesus, and it's not random where God is just making a million choices. Yes to him, no to him, yes, yes, no, no, and three no's, one yes, one maybe so. And God is not in heaven just making a bazillion decisions a day. He gave you the principle, here's how you get what I promised. I'm going to have my Holy Spirit always with you, working with you, but you're going to work this way. Are you with me so far? So let me do it this way. All right, I need one of these, Lexi. Lex, can I have you? All right, come stand here. You're awesome. Come stand on stage because you're my illustration. You don't have to say anything. All right, I need one more young. You don't have to say anything. Or do you want to say something? Do you want to sing? Would you like to sing a song? All right, well, I need another guy. I need a guy. Darian. Where's Darian? All right, Darian. I like these guys. They're the pulpit crew. You know, like in a stock car race, you have the crew, the pit crew. We have a pulpit crew. And this is one of them. Okay, you're just going to stand there and look beautiful. Okay, so these are. I need one more guy. Come on, man. Oh no. Well, Connor's over there. I might get him in a second. I hear. What's your name, man?
Jason.
All right. So we're going to call these people particular names. You are depth. Depth is one of the dimensions we have. We can see depth, right? You're depth. Right? Because it's not a sheet of paper you're looking at. You're looking at depth here, right? So this is a realm called depth. You are going to be width. You don't have to say anything. Just feel it, okay? You're width, and you are height. All right? So the three things we can perceive is what's high, what's wide, and what's deep, right? That's called 3D, isn't it? Three dimensions. So these three dimensions, we're all created by God's word. All the width, all the depth, and all the height. And I could give you some scriptures, but to try to finish on time, I want you to see that these three exist because you can see them. Now, let me get Pastor Paul up here because he is the fourth dimension. Just say, I'm the fourth dimension.
I am the fourth dimension.
He's the fourth dimension. Now, because the fourth dimension created all those things, the fourth dimension controls all those things. Just do that. I like that. Yeah, I like that. I love the way you're doing that. That's exactly what happens. So these people here think they're controlling the fourth dimension, but they don't. Right? They're in the third dimension. You can't work in the fourth dimension until you step into the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is the dimension of the spirit. Now, we know that from the Bible. God tells us from Genesis 1 that the spiritual dimension is containing and controlling the three dimensions. Do that again. There you go. Are you with me? Do you feel it now? Are you starting to feel something? Okay. Because now these guys, they exist and they're real and they're true and we can stand on them and we can. It's the real world that, as we know it, these three dimensions. But the fourth dimension has moved and created them, so he's controlling them. Now, all right, let me see. All right, I need you. You're going to be Joe Believer. All right, come stand here. All right, you be the fourth dimension. I'm going to let you be like God in the fourth dimension, okay? Because we know God created everything. You're Cindy Believer. Cindy Believer. All right, so here you are. You're hooked up with God. Just hold his hand. You're hooked up with God. Now, God is saying, listen, I could do it for you, but I want you to learn how to be here with me. This is called the realm of faith. So she's partnering with God in the realm of faith. Now, let me see. Donovan, I hate to do it, but you have to be the devil, man. I'm sorry. I know it seems racist because you're a black guy. But I couldn't see a better guy because, you know, we didn't have our clothes with us at the beach where we were staying. So we came back with looking like this. You look awesome, man. There you go. But wait, remember, he's the devil, so don't give him a hand. Okay, over here. You're going to be over here. Put your head up on backwards so you look more like the devil. I like it, man. All right. Now, here's Joe Believer trying to walk in faith. He's walking with God, and she's learning the scriptures, and she's trying to get in the midst of faith. So she's saying stuff like, you know, by his stripes I'm healed.
By his stripes I'm healed.
Say,
By his stripes I'm healed.
You're saying stuff like that.
By his stripes I'm healed.
But the issue is that you're still connected to this, and this is being stubborn. You're saying stuff, but you didn't actually come into this because you let go of him for a second. You know, I know you love God, but you're here, and these are the two spirits that are operating in the dimension of the supernatural. So this one here is constantly trying to tell her, come over here and say, you know, everything's just what it is.
You know, everything's just what it is.
You can't change anything.
You can't change anything.
You can beg God.
You can beg God.
He ain't gonna do nothing.
He ain't gonna do nothing.
Ah. So here she is. I need my pit crew. Can you move that back? Because this is starting to get good. Because everybody knows this right here. Because everybody lives this right here. So now, the Christian has to come into the realm of faith. She has to come up, and in the realm of the spiritual realm, where is, I know some of you are going to have a hard time believing it, but in the world where you envision is the world of the spirit. It's the fourth dimension. When you envision, that's why people think of dreams and visions. They think of dreams and visions as spiritual because they know it's not hindered by the natural. But the idea of imagination or envisioning versus holy imagination, they're much different. How many of you know that this guy right here, he's got some imaginations for you if you want to come into the realm of the spiritual realm. Not the S spirit, but just the S. Every one of you has a spirit inside of you. And that spirit inside of you has the ability to connect with another spirit. It is either the spirit of the world, the Bible says God delivered us from the spirit of the world, or the spirit of God. Then the spirit of God says all my promises are true. You just got to jump into them and everything's going to change. You got to begin to think. You got to use your holy imagination. You got to come into the realm of the spirit and begin to dream what I said. And most Christians are like, that's not as fun as hanging out with that guy because he has imaginations for you. What are they? It ain't going to happen. Doubt. You know what's going to happen? Your kids are going to get hurt in a car accident. Fear. And these become real pictures. And she begins to work in the realm of the spiritual realm. But in the spiritual realm, there's more than one voice. You got to choose. If you're going to change things in the natural, you got to choose. Why do you think? Because I was in the theater department, and I'm an artist by nature. Why do you think most of the people in my world end up in the gay community? Lots of them in the theater department and in the art department and in all of those things. Why do you think they do? Why? Because they have a strong lean toward imagination. And if you get up in the world of imagination and you don't have that thing governing you, his word, his presence governing you, you won't get in trouble in the realm of imagination. You're going to start thinking of things you shouldn't think, dreaming of things you shouldn't be dreaming of, start calling your things you shouldn't be calling yourself, start doing things you shouldn't be doing, start ruining your future. Why? Because you didn't think there was any harm in getting into the realm of imagination. And using your imagination, instead of to create a better marriage, a better life, a better home, a better everything, instead of hooking up with him in the world of the spirit and the world of promises and imagining the promises and believing God for the promises, there's another spirit that says, why don't you join with me? I'm going to keep you connected here to the real world. Do you see what I'm saying? So the faith 101 is understanding that God won't make you go into the realm of the spirit and won't make you think right. This is your deal. You've got to say all of my thoughts. Well, it's just not going good right now, brother. Well, does that change anything? It doesn't change anything. How it's going, because that's all here. Everything that is subject to change doesn't matter. What happens in the realm of the spirit is that has the ultimate power, because ultimately that's the end game. That's going to control everything. So everybody has to make a quality decision, and that quality decision says, I'm going to step into the realm of the spirit, and I'm going to renounce all these imaginations. Like, dude, you're getting old. I think you might have a heart attack. I think that was cancer. Wasn't it cancer? See, All of these things are the enemy saying, this is not a promise, this is a threat. See, God has promises, the enemy has threats. God has this attraction up, the enemy has this attraction down. And our nature tends to be attracted down and wants to imagine lower things. I see myself doing this or that. Like, we have beautiful children, and they're beautiful, and then suddenly they become teenagers, and we start getting afraid, and the enemy says, you know what's going to happen? They're going to be drugs and this and that, and they're going to do this and that. And suddenly, we start coming into the enemy's imaginations, and we start participating with his destiny for their life. So we start looking with our eyes and start speaking, he's just a bum. She's an addict. She's immoral. And we begin to speak these words because we have not joined with God and said, but this is what your promises say. I mean, do you think, I have beautiful children. And I have a beautiful marriage, the honest truth. But it wasn't like that. It was without form and void. And I had to hover with the Holy Spirit, and I had to call those things that are not as though they are. And look, it was heartbreaking at times. And you can want to get emotional, but you can't get emotional. You got to fight. And you got to say, wait a second, I'm going to say about my kids what God is saying. I'm going to say about my marriage what God is saying. I'm going to say about my life what God is saying. I don't care what crashed. I don't care what happened. I don't care what's going on with the government. I made my mind up. I'm dreaming the dreams of God. I'm not listening to that liar. I'm going to listen to the promises of God. And I'm going to enter into the realm of faith. And I'm going to impact the natural realm because I'm stepping in to the spiritual realm. Let's give our cast a big hand. Great job. So that's why movies and music and all those things, oh, it's no big deal. Oh, it's a pretty big deal. Because it gets your imagination going. So I'm just watching TV. I'm just watching a scary movie. Are you outside your mind? You're choosing to trigger your unholy imagination so that you can connect with the darkness and they can start putting in feelings and images that will defeat you? Are you serious? You have a choice and you turn on, you turn that on and got some knucklehead prophesying over your life, immorality and failure and violence. You're listening to that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And if you got to say, I'm only going to, the holy means only for Jesus. God won't make that decision for you. You have to say, my imagination, this is the holy land. I'm going to use my ability to envision to build. I'm going to use my ability to envision to grow. I'm going to use my ability to envision to expand God's kingdom, to see the best in people, to overcome situations. I'm not going to allow that realm to become dark and fearful and negative and hateful. You know, one thing that Jesus said, I don't have much time. One thing that Jesus said, he said, and when you stand praying, Mark 11, we've been talking about a lot. Then he said, when you pray, when you stand praying, be sure to forgive. Because he's saying, you can't get in that realm with unforgiveness. You can't get in that realm with guilt. You can't get in that world mad at somebody, hating somebody. You're just going to be all there in the third dimension. You'll be stuck there because the only way is to begin to think like God thinks, to become like a child, Jesus said. You got to, what do children have? Great imaginations. They just believe. Jesus said, if you want to get in the kingdom, you got to quit being a smarty pants and you got to start saying, I'm going to become a dreamer. I'm not going to be angry and mad and bitter and all that. And I'm going to make my mind up. I'm going to dream with Jesus. Now, we're going to have communion before we go today. But I want it to be a special communion because you're going to sanctify your mind. You're going to sanctify your imagination. You're going to sanctify those things that you're thinking about. Because I can teach you a bunch of things, but if you don't get this, if you don't make up your mind, I'm going to separate from the things that are making me bummed out. Lies and threats and accusations of the enemy. And I'm going to step into the realm where all of God's promises are true. If you don't make that decision, it's a waste of time. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to make a decision. We're going to begin to envision that cross. And we're going to remember that blood, see, this is God, excuse me, man, thank you. This is God's way. He says, God is saying, okay, envision this, envision this. Envision that this is the blood of Jesus. See it. See that this is going into your bloodstream and his blood is touching your blood. That's nothing more than activating your holy imagination. I don't want to imagine. You got to. I just want to drink the juice. Juice won't help you. You got to put faith with that juice. You got to let it help you activate your holy imagination. You got to visualize Jesus went to that cross. That blood is coming down. Can you see it? He did it for you. And now the blood, the nature of Christ, that changes the way you think, that changes the way you feel, that changes the way you live, that nature just went down your throat. And all that negative, dark stuff that's been dragging you down, it's being replaced with the nature of Jesus. It's getting rid of all of that junk, and you're getting a new nature. You're not going to be controlled by what you used to be. You're going to enter into what God called you to be. Are you with me? It's a simple thing. Just become like a child. Begin to use your imagination. Begin to use your ability to visualize. You begin to use that and step into what God promised you. It's going to take the lid off your life. Come on, stand up with me. You're going to go to your left. We're going to quickly receive communion. It's going to be a miracle communion. It's going to be miracle communion in your life. Are you ready? Are you ready? You are not going to recognize yourself when you get rid of those dark imaginations. You're not going to recognize how you feel when you say, no more listening to the whispers of the God of this age. No more going into the realm of imagination, the realm of visualization. No more going into that realm and letting the enemy manipulate my life, confuse me. No more of that. Love you, buddy. How you doing? You're freezing? No more of that. I love you guys. You guys are like world changers. Look at you. Awesome. 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 Today, God is going to activate your ability to dream. Great dreams. God doesn't want you to feel condemned. He doesn't want you to feel defeated. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Forget about your past. Doesn't matter. But get rid of all that imagination and all that junk that clung to you from the past. Get rid of all that dark. That's what communion is. It's a clean break, right? Love y'all. You're awesome. All right, once you get your hand on that bread, I want you to declare, we're going to use our ability to visualize. All right? This is what it means to be spiritual, to step out of the realm of what you can see and see something you're going to have to see with the eyes of faith. Say it with me. Say, thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word creates life. There is life in your word. There is Zoe life in your word. Right? Doesn't the Bible say that? The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. In Him was Zoe, which means God life. In the Word of God, there is this enthusiasm for God. There's life for God. It's in His Word. This piece of bread, it's the Word of God that you just heard. Say it with me. Say, thank you, Jesus. Your Word contains Zoe. Your life contains light. My ability to see into the realm of the Spirit. I'm not just going to eat a cracker, but I declare this is the body of Christ. This is the word of God that was broken for me. And as Pastor Bray released it to me, I declare I receive the word of God. I'm receiving Zoe. Jesus went to that cross. I can see Him there. He shed His blood. He died. And He died for my sin. They put Him in a tomb. 3 days later, the stone was rolled away. I can see it. He was risen. And I declare, according to the word of God, resurrection power is inside of me. I declare, if He came out of that grave, I'm coming out too. I declare the grave could not hold Jesus. And the grave of my past cannot hold me. I receive the word of the Lord. I receive Zoe. In Zoe, there is light. I believe that the eyes of my understanding are being enlightened by your presence and by your word, and I receive it. Father, we bless this in Jesus' name. As we take it, let it to us be the life of God. We receive it right now in Jesus' name. Come on, let's receive the bread. Remember Jesus. He paid the price to bring you out of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of dreamers, the kingdom of kings and priests. He paid the price, and you're receiving that price. Come on, with the cup, say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Your blood that you shed on that cross, I can see it. I see you hanging there. And every drop of that blood has the power to change my life. And I declare that by the blood of Jesus, all my sins, and they are many, are washed away. And they're removed from my life. I declare that by the blood of Jesus, I've been delivered from all the power of the enemy. And I declare that as I walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus is constantly cleansing me from all sin. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, I declare that the blood of Jesus has canceled every charge against my life, every argument against my family, every generational curse was broken by the blood of Jesus. I didn't have to break it, but I released my faith that the blood gave me the victory. Thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus sanctified me, made me ready for my purpose. And by the blood of Jesus, I've been justified. When Jesus looks at me, it's just as if I'd never sinned. Come on, with your hands lifted. Now, say, Father, as I receive the blood of Jesus, I renounce allowing my imagination to be used by the powers of darkness. I renounce the devil, his accusations, his lies, his version of my life, his attacks. I reject him. I remove him from my life. I reject fear. I reject failure. I reject sickness and every threat of the enemy. All bondage that the enemy brought to my life through his lies, I renounce thinking about them, listening to them, and allowing them to control my emotions. Now, Lord Jesus, I receive your blood, your forgiveness, your nature. As I drink this, it's more than just my forgiveness. It's redeeming all that the enemy stole from me. And as I take this communion, I declare of my life, my imagination, my ability to envision is holy for Jesus. I will not, as you give me grace, allow the imaginations of the enemy to affect my heart or my words from this moment forward. This blood makes me holy in my thoughts, in my attitude, in my body, and in my words. Bless this for me. I receive it now. It's holy. Let your holiness be inside of me in Jesus' name. Let's take it. Come on, can you take this a moment? Just worship him. Look, receive a miracle. Those tormenting thoughts are canceled. The tormenting assignments on your life are canceled by the blood of Jesus. Right now. Right now, just release your faith. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your people. Let the power of God, let the fire of God, let the glory of God visit them. As they set their mind on you, let them be in perfect peace. Let them wake up with the joy of the Lord. Let them go to sleep with the peace of God. Let them dream big dreams about great things. Let them understand that there's no limit to their life, and that whatever needs to change, you're going to change it. Let them live in the glorious presence of the Holy Spirit. Let them go higher and higher. Let them grow from victory to victory, grace to grace, faith to faith. Lord, let every part of their life become redeemed and begin to multiply in Jesus' name. Would you do one more time? Just lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus, because of your blood and because of your word. Everything in my life, my body, my relationship with you, my marriage, my family, my ministry, my finances, my business, everything is blessed because of you, what you did. Thank you. Come on, okay, let me help you one more time. Just say, in the name of Jesus, I declare out loud over my whole life, I'm living from this moment in the blessing of Jesus. My thoughts, my feelings, and my words, they line up with the promises of God. Come on. I declare my whole life is becoming the promised land in Jesus' name. And everybody said, can you give God a great shout, everybody, if you believe it? Woo! Have a great day. God bless you.